All right, everybody, we're just about ready to start. Give me 1 minute. We'll get going. Today is general questions, and we will probably give priority to tax questions just because we're getting a lot of them, and it's that time of year, and there's a lot of confusion to clear up. But we'll take any question at all. So we'll do either 1 or 2 hours today. It really just depends on the call volume and how many questions we have. Right now, it's pretty light. If you want to jump in, press 1 on your phone. If you do it right now, I promise you get through. If you wait, you never know.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking, and today anything goes. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, getting your own authority, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. We're going to get to those calls in just a little bit. I don't even know where to start today. Wow. You know, last week I was kind of flying under the radar just because I was locked away in a room working on these tax issues and creating calculators and, you know, making sure we really understood the rules. There's still a little bit up in the air. There always is until the IRS finalizes the actual tax forms. I haven't seen any indication of when that's going to be yet, but I've been through enough of this to know we've got this right. There may be some final little tweaks at the end. I'm really happy with it. It's just a great tax bill across the board for owner operators. It does open up a lot of possibilities for new strategies for owner operators. Initially I thought we would actually see less owner operators that should be incorporated. Now I'm thinking it's the opposite. We dug in, we did the calculations. It may make sense to have more owner operators incorporate even at lower profit levels. So we'll be talking about that a lot. We'll be helping people do that. Lots and lots of strategies for saving money on taxes for owner operators that aren't currently being used. So we're going to be helping our clients make sure they're taking advantage of all of those. I've said it before, there's a big difference between understanding how to fill out a tax form correctly and maximizing tax strategies to lower tax as much as possible. Most people who do tax returns for a living or charge for it know how to fill out the forms correctly. You're not going to find any big mistakes. I review a lot of tax returns. I don't see mistakes. What I see on virtually every tax return I look at is missed opportunities. I see that, you know, owner operators are not taking deductions for their personal vehicle. They're not taking deductions for paying their children to work in the business. They're not taking deductions for vacation travel. They're not taking deductions for home office. They're not maximizing the advantages of having the corporation when it makes sense, or paying their spouse so that we can create additional deductions around per diem and health insurance. And I mean, I could go on and on for hours about how all of these deductions work. But the biggest thing I see is they're not being taken advantage of, and this is thousands and thousands of dollars you could be saving on your taxes. So I'm going to be doing a lot of tax shows. I'm going to be putting out some podcasts. I'm working on an ebook to help people understand all of these issues. make sure you're paying the least amount of tax possible. It's a crazy, crazy time in the industry. So what I started to talk about was, because I had my head down and I was, you know, working on all of this, I got a little behind on my reading. I usually spend about 2 hours every morning reading through industry news, financial news, health news, and I got behind. So I got up really early this morning and started working on that, and I was a little overwhelmed. Let's talk about rates first. The December numbers are in. Across the board, rates are way up compared to last December. And that's a good way to do the comparison because freight is very seasonal. So sometimes when you say, well, you know, August was up over July. Well, that may be just a common thing that happens every year. But if you take this December and compare it to last December, then we get a really good idea of what's going on without, you know, seasonality changes. So, and I look at those numbers a lot of different ways. Sometimes it does make sense to say, how are things this month compared to last month? But in this case, I was waiting for the December numbers to come out. I get my information from truckstop.com and FTR and a couple of other places as well. So if we compare December to December of 2017 to December of 2016, on average, if we take the three big sectors, van, flatbed, reefer, rates are up 40 cents a mile. 40 cents a mile. That's a lot. I mean, let's put that into perspective. Now, we could argue whether this is all ELD or not. I don't believe it's all ELD, but I believe the ELD had an impact, no question. So if we just take somebody who wants to run 100,000 miles a year, think about that. That's between 1,900 and 2,000 miles a week. That's it. To get to 100,000 miles a year. With the new rates, you would gross $40,000 more dollars on 100,000 miles. Now, after all expenses, you should be able to keep $15,000 to $20,000 of that as pure profit. And yet, I hear people complaining about the increased cost of an ELD. Come on, these things are dirt cheap. They're not even a half a penny a mile in your cost, and rates are up 40 cents a mile. And if you can't do 2,000 miles a week on an ELD, then you need to be in another business, seriously. So rates are just exciting right now. I also see a lot of pessimism about this, though. I'm shocked. I hear people saying, oh, it's never going to last. Well, it's going to last. We just don't know how long. Rates always go up and down. I've been through multiple cycles of boom and bust on rates. I could go back and name all of them, what year they started, what year they ended, when things were up, when things were down. This is something I've watched for decades. So, yeah, these rates aren't here forever. They will eventually go back down, but they're still climbing. They're starting to level off a little bit, maybe, but that's hard to tell because of the holidays. So it'll be interesting to see when we finish January and look at January's numbers compared to last year. So, but even if they leveled off right here, these are record-setting rates. How long will they last? I don't know. But why are we worried about, you know, that they're just going to go away? Why not enjoy the rates while they're here? I'm just shocked at how pessimistic some people can be. No matter how good things are, they find the bad to look for. Another article I read this morning. Carriers are betting on the fact that this freight volume and these rates are going to be around for a while. Trailer orders, and this is an important number that I watch. Trailer orders are setting records. One, because there's a lot of freight, but two, because there's a lot of freight and not a lot of drivers. So the big carriers are going to be trying to expand their drop and hook operations because that maximizes their capacity. So they are out investing heavily in new trailers. That's a good sign. that's a good sign of a lot of freight. You know, the big carriers that are doing this, they all have the analyst on staff. They're watching these numbers and they're betting on the fact that this environment we're in is going to be around for a while. So I don't know why you would be pessimistic about this. Take advantage of it, make money. Along those lines, I read an article, it was in Landline Magazine, OIDA, and you know, there seems to be this huge divide in the industry right now. On one hand, I'm hearing from people who have been in this industry a long time as owner-operators, they couldn't be happier. They say they've got the ability to pick and choose their load, to negotiate the terms and the rates, and they're just as happy as could be. We are already starting to see a big flood of tax information coming in. People are on top of their accounting already this year. That's good. So I've been looking at a lot of business reports for the entire year of 2017 with our clients. Talk about record setting. I have never seen so many owner-operators profiting more than $100,000 for the year. I've already seen a bunch of them, and I'm just getting started. I don't understand. The article I read from OIDA was how angry drivers are over what's going on in the industry. I feel like I'm living in some sort of parallel universe. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe you can help me understand. We'll be right back. I've got some more stuff that we're going to get to your calls and questions. Stick around. Kevin Ruff. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get to the calls in just a little bit. So much going on. All right. So I'm seeing this huge divide. Like I said, the article in Landline was talking about how angry drivers are over what's going on in the industry. And yet I'm seeing the exact opposite, how happy, prosperous, profitable owner operators are in this market right now. Now, let me clarify something. When I talk about how good the news is, rates are up, lots of freight, the tax bill, all of those things, I'm primarily talking about owner operators. That's my market. Maybe what OIDA here is hearing is from a lot of drivers. I don't think the news is horrible for employee drivers, but it's not nearly as exciting. You know, rates going up have a much slower effect on them. You know, let's take, for example, rates being up, and this is spot market rates, so they're up 40 cents a mile. You should be able to profit an additional 15 cents a mile on that number, or at least that much, maybe even as much as 20 profit. Well, I don't see carriers raising their driver pay anywhere near that. So, yeah, there might be some new bonuses, some driver pay going up. It clearly is, but not at that rate. So the rates aren't nearly as beneficial to company drivers as they are to owner-operators. Or owner-operators in a mileage contract aren't seeing these kind of rates. If you're in a percentage contract, you're taking advantage of all of this. If you're an independent, it's just a great time to be an independent right now. The tax reform. Great for owner-operators. It was so-so for company drivers. There are some ways to create some advantages if you know what you're doing, but some drivers are going to lose out on this. So maybe that's why I see this difference. I don't know. It's hard to say. I've always wondered how you run an association like OOIDA that, you know, what they talk about a lot is they lobby, they try to make change in the industry, even though owner operators and company drivers do the same thing every day. They're out there driving, delivering freight. Their days look almost identical. The issues are completely different. I honestly think those should be two different associations. There should be an association for owner operators and maybe small fleets because they have the same issues. Company drivers have completely different issues on many of the things that we talk about in the industry. So I don't know how you advocate for both. You know, I love to help drivers. Most of my material, most of my shows, the courses I create online are either to help owner operators directly or help drivers become owner operators. Because there's just not much I can do for a company driver, even less now. Under the new tax bill, company drivers won't really need a tax preparer. Their tax return is going to get drop dead simple. Along those lines, I also have to say that Landline Magazine has screwed up again, and this is causing a lot of havoc in the industry. I'm not saying this just to criticize Landline Magazine, but in December 20th, that week of December 20th, when the tax bill was signed. Now, this is last minute. That's basically the last week of the year. In many ways, that's a lousy time to get a tax bill signed. I wish it would have been 3 months earlier, but it wasn't. So we have to deal with it. But it went into effect, you know, 10 days later on January 1st. So everybody that does taxes or writes about taxes or is involved in trucking was scrambling to get out articles to explain what this new tax bill means. I was putting out articles. You know, I've been creating calculators and running scenarios. And that week, there was an article in Landline that said nothing had changed about per diem. And that was an incorrect statement. And it immediately created a lot of confusion. Let me try to explain this again. I have a feeling I'm going to be explaining this a lot. There are a set of rules that talk about how we calculate per diem in the trucking industry. Those rules did not change. That's what's causing the problem. The rules on how you calculate per diem didn't change. So in Landline's column, that's what they said. They said the rules didn't change. What did change, though, and they're not making this clear, what changed is how you deduct per diem. Not how it's calculated, but how you deduct it, and that means who can deduct it. Carriers that pay per diem can still pay it, and they can still deduct it on their business tax return. Owner-operators can still deduct per diem on their business tax return, whether it's an S-Corp, an LLC, a partnership, sole proprietor, doesn't matter. The difference, though, is company drivers can no longer deduct per diem. The per diem rules didn't change, but how you deduct it did. There is no such thing anymore as unreimbursed employee business expense. Now, that's a mouthful, but that's how company drivers used to deduct per diem. That has gone away completely. Now, I didn't make a big deal out of this when it happened in that first week, but when I was reading the news this morning, Landline published another article on last week, and here is their sentence. This is all they say about it. Additional good news for truckers in this bill is that HR 1 does not change overnight per diems. Then they talk about the section 274N3 of the IRS code. Here's what they said. That means truckers That's their word. Truckers retain the ability to claim 80% of the $63 per diem for nights away from home. That is incorrect. We use the word truckers. Everybody believes that we're talking about drivers, owner operators. That is an incorrect statement. Company drivers can no longer take this deduction. Owner operators, carriers still can. Whether you like it or not, that's the rule. That's how this works. I have checked with many other accountants, tax preparers, CPAs. I mentioned Mark Sullivan, who is helping me out in my tax group. He's a former IRS agent. He's a tax consultant to fleets about per diem. This is his area of specialty. He completely agrees with me 100% on this. I just don't see that there's any room for error in this. It's very, very clear. But what's frustrating me is Landline is a very well-followed magazine. A lot of people read it, and they're saying, I'm going to just stop arguing with people. When I say this, they say to me, oh, no, you're wrong. Here's what Landline magazine said. Well, I guess you got to decide who you're going to believe. When you show up at your tax preparer, tells you you can't take per diem because there isn't even a form anymore to do it. I haven't seen the final forms from the IRS, but they're not out. They're not out yet. But when they do come out, I think it's going to be very, very clear to everybody. I don't think there's going to be a form 2106 anymore. And that was the form you needed to take the per diem deduction as an employee. So we'll see, but this is causing a lot of confusion. And it's not as if we need one more thing in this industry to be confused about right now. I will stay on top of that. If anything changes, we'll certainly let you know. I'm going to head to the phones. Let's start off in Missouri. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah,
can you hear me? With me? Yeah, Kevin, can you hear me? It's Joseph. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard all what you said about the per diem. So since that form is not available for you to use anymore, what's the better way to file my taxes? My company offers the per diem. Should I take it or not? Like, either way, do I end up having to pay more at the end of the year, or how does that work if I do or don't take the per diem? Does it matter anymore either way?
Good. It definitely matters. So this is a really good question. Now let me clarify something. The tax return that you are getting ready to file right now, that is your tax return for 2017. Nothing changed.
Yeah.
Per diem is exactly the same
I understand
on that return. Okay. And I want to make sure everybody else understands this, because that's confusing a lot of people as well. Joseph, I'm going to come right back to you. I've got to get to a break. This is a good question. I'm going to clarify this for Joseph and everybody else. There's actually some good news in here. I'll tell you about that right after we get back. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. With all this tax confusion, it is critically important that you make sure you're working with a tax preparer who understands the industry and is on top of this new tax bill. We want to make sure, even though things haven't changed in 2017, you might as well make sure you've got somebody now and they can help you get prepared for 2018 as well. If you're looking for somebody, we can certainly help you out. This is our number one priority right now. You can give us a call. I'll give you a second to grab something to write with. You can always go to the website, letstruck.com, or call our Tribe Care team at 855-800-3835. I'm going to go back to Joseph. So, really good question. If your carrier offers to reimburse per diem, that's the correct way we should be saying that. We could call it pay per diem. I've actually heard people say deduct per diem. That's wrong. The carrier is reimbursing your per diem to you. You absolutely want to take that under this new tax bill, 100%. It would be crazy for you not to take it now. Now, I know some carriers actually want to pay you a penny or two less, and we could do some numbers calculations, but I still think you're going to come out ahead, because here's the thing. You can no longer deduct it. The new rules, the new Trump tax plan said, look, instead of everybody taking all these itemized deductions, which just complicates everybody's tax return, let's get rid of all that and we'll just double the standard deduction. So if you're single, the standard deduction went all the way up to $12,000. If you're married, it went all the way up to $24,000. So we're getting that big standard deduction. Now, on top of that, the carrier could pay you the full $63 a day in per diem. Not all of them do it that way, but they could. You get all of that per diem money tax-free, and you still get this big standard deduction. So if the carrier will pay the per diem or reimburse the per diem, this is a huge benefit to drivers now.
Gotcha.
Oh, Joseph, I'm not sure. I'm getting a lot of noise, and I think there's a big delay there. So hopefully that answered your question. I'll be answering that one again plenty of times. Let's go to Utah. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I've got all my numbers in the profit gauges. I was wondering if you could take a look at what I did last year and see if there's something that I can focus in on next year to help me improve my numbers.
All right. Let's take a look. Tell me a little bit about your operation.
Single driver, owner operator, leased to a carrier, running all 48.
Mileage or percentage?
Percentage.
Okay, good. So one of the good news things that's going on is your numbers will more than likely get better just because rates are going up and your percentage will go up with it. You did $1.42 a mile, all miles last year, and you did a really good job of keeping your expenses under control. We normally, so if we take the amount of money you gross, and then we want to try to predict what a good profit would be, I tell people to shoot for 50%. If you can keep half of everything you gross, you're doing really well. You beat that. You're actually keeping about 57%. So, you know,
cool.
Looking at your fuel cost is really good. Your maintenance cost isn't bad. It may make up a little bit there, but not much. So the good news is you've got your expenses down nice and tight. You were very, very close to that $100,000 profit mark on only 116,000 miles. I mean, you're keeping 82 cents per mile in profit. That's outstanding. And the only thing I would have you focus on this year is just look for where those rates are really good and try to stay on that freight as much as you can. But your numbers look excellent.
Wonderful. All right, well, I'll try to look at the maintenance this next year and try to keep that down. But as far as that goes, everything else looks good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Boy, I love seeing these numbers. You know, seeing owner-operators making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year just warms my heart. To Pennsylvania, Tony, welcome to the program. Tony, are you with me? Tony, I hear you there. Come back to your phone.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind today?
According to the Trump tax plan, I know for 2018, he did away with the Obamacare mandate penalty. And I'm hearing a lot, not confirmed, but that it would retroact to 2017. Do you know anything about it?
No, I don't know where anybody's coming up with that. In fact, it's the opposite. That one, now almost all of the rules on the new tax plan started on January 1st of this year, 2018. Except that one, the mandate actually, or the penalty for not having health insurance doesn't start till January 1st of next year. If you don't have health insurance in 2018, you're still going to pay a penalty.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm not sure where people are coming up with the fact that it's going to be retroactive. If that's been talked about anywhere, it's news to me, and I read on this stuff every single day.
Okay. As far as I'm a company driver, as far as deductions, I was told that I could not claim deductions unless I itemized. Is that true?
That's always been true. And this confuses a lot of people. Let me try to explain this in real clear terms. There are two methods to get deductions on a personal tax return. We're not talking about business now or owner operators. That's completely different. We're talking about a personal 1040 tax return. The IRS gives everybody a standard allowance, and it changes every year. And the standard allowance just says, look, instead of trying to keep all those receipts and worry about all the rules, if you want, just take this deduction. Or if you can look through all the rules and find that your itemized deductions are bigger, then keep all your receipts and your logbooks and all those things that are deductible, and there's a whole list of them, and then you would itemize. And that means filling out a bunch of other forms. But if you got above the standard deduction, it made sense to itemize because you'd pay less tax. Well, that was what this bill was trying to simplify. They didn't want people to have to do that anymore. So what they did was they got rid of most of the itemized deductions. The kind of stuff for your job, those are all gone. You can't deduct any expense that has anything to do with your job anymore, which includes per diem, supplies, gloves, laundry, all that stuff we used to do. Now, you can still deduct some big ticket stuff like mortgage interest, real estate tax with some limitations, and charitable contributions. So now what they did was they doubled that standard deduction. They said, we don't want people to have to goof around with all these receipts, all these forms, all the confusion. We'll just double the standard deduction. Everybody gets it, and there will be no more itemizing or very little, just those big ticket items that I talked about. That's what's changing. For 2017, the tax return you're about to file, it's identical. Nothing changed. What we're talking about, the changes are in 2018. There won't really be any more itemizing your expenses. Does that make sense?
So for 2017, we could itemize our expenses, like gloves,
yes,
flashlights?
Yes, absolutely. Yep,
now,
your SiriusXM subscription. Yeah, all the stuff that has been deductible forever, still deductible on the tax return you're getting ready to file right now. It's 2018 that when the changes start.
Okay, so to be clear, is that – still only if you itemize, or can you claim business expenses anyway?
No. No, you have to itemize. That's always been the way. Nothing changed. Whether you itemize or take the standard deduction has been around for decades. Nothing changed about that. It's always been that way. And it will be that way until this year. Then that all changes. Stick around. We'll be right back. Kevin Robinson. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Boy, this show is flying by tonight. We're down to the final segment. I've got lots of calls, so I'm going to get right back to it. Lots of confusion being created in the industry. I'm going to do my best to try to help simplify some of it. Let's go to Ohio. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing today?
Good. What can I help you with?
Got a couple of questions. I guess the first we'll start off with the tax questions and the finances. I believe I sent over my profit gauges.
Yep, I got it here.
The 2017 was a pretty decent year for me for solo. I went from running Schneider to leasing on to Landstar. My profit's gone up in 2017. But the other thing we did is, along with building relations, my wife got her CDL and we started teaming as of January this year. So it's expected to really go
That's
up
exciting.
2018. So yeah. One of the questions we have is, we're kind of confused on I've listened to a couple of the shows where you now think the amount, to possibly be able to file S corp, LLC and filing as an S corp, actually gone down, but our revenue is going to go up tremendously next year. So we're kind of wondering, I'm assuming that's the route we need to go for 2018.
Yeah. Even if you were going to stay solo, I would recommend it, but clearly going team profits are going to go up. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. You know, of course, we understand that if you have another driver in the truck, your gross revenue is going to go up, your net revenue is going to go up, but the percentage is actually going to go up as well. You're going to become more profitable with bigger margins, because you got to remember, when you're a single driver, all of your fixed costs, your truck payment, your insurance, your permits, your base plates, all of those things, you could potentially almost double your revenue as a team, but none of those fixed costs go up. So
Correct.
The profit margin actually gets bigger. So even if you were staying solo, I would say, yeah, you really should become an S corp. And certainly moving to a team, there's going to be a big tax advantage for you to do that.
Yeah, we're already looking at the expected revenue for next year because of the relations we build, and we've got not really a dedicated run, but a steady run with just a couple of agents, and we're looking at least 250 or even more is possible for next year easily, especially with the way rates are going.
Right.
So that's definitely we'll definitely talk with Chris and get that ball rolling between now and, I guess, the deadline is what, the end of March. You have to have it filed.
Yeah. So two
okay.
things for you and everybody else listening. Two things to stay on top of this year, because tax laws are changing, which will lower tax bills. but rates are just like going through the roof right now. So I want people to realize the more profitable we are, no matter how well we manage the tax return, you're probably going to end up paying more tax. I mean, that's just the way our system works. So I don't want people to fall behind on like estimated taxes and, you know, those kind of things. Now, the good news about a corporation, it actually helps manage your taxes a little better because we are going to be doing payroll for both you and your wife once you form the corporation. And on payroll, all the taxes get withheld every time we cut a check. So at least the tax on all the wages gets paid all year long through payroll. Now we just have to do our estimated taxes on what's left over, the profit and the money you're going to take out as a draw.
Right. Right now, I'm an individual LLC owner. We're not partner. Well, you know what I mean. It's not a partnership LLC.
Yeah.
But we are an LLC. So what was the deal? I thought there was you could file your taxes as an LLC, but you can actually, take the benefits of an S corp or something, or do you actually have to become an S corp to do that?
Well, you do have to file the corporate as an S corp. So this gets really confusing, and let me explain this because this is going to come up a lot. The IRS has tax forms and tax returns for every type of business. So a sole proprietor files a Schedule C along with their personal tax return, the 1040. Nice and simple.
Right.
A partnership has to file its own tax return, an 1165. Then the money flows through to the partners. Then they file a personal return. An S corp files an 1120S. But the money flows through to the owners and they file a personal tax return. Well, and then C corps have their own tax returns. The LLC was kind of a new thing back in, I'm thinking it was somewhere around the 80s, they came up with the LLC. Well, the IRS said, we're not going to create a tax form for this entity. Doesn't make any sense. So what we're going to do instead is if you form an LLC, you have to choose which way you want to be taxed. And what you did was choose to be taxed as a sole proprietor, which is nice and simple. Now what we have to do, and Chris will help you with all this, we have to go back and say this LLC now chooses to be taxed as an S corp. And that's the change that's going to happen. So then you will file, we'll do it for you, we'll file the 1120S, that's the corporate tax return, and then you'll still file your personal tax return, the 1040. And we'll do all of that.
All right, cool. Okay, that sounds good. So it looks like we're going to be set up pretty good going into 2018, and we're looking forward to it. The other question I have is on the truck. We're kind of tossing up in the air near the end of the year next year, putting a bunch of money away to put down on it. But the truck I have now, it's a really good truck. She should have sent you over our oil samples. The biggest problem I'm having is I've lost a lot of my mileage. I was at about 30 to 32 cent a mile the beginning of 2016. We started running some FedEx loads for agents and building those relationships, and those were just-in-time freight. So my driving 59 kind of went out the window. A lot of times it's 65, sometimes even 70. So I'm up to 41 cents a mile now. The run we're doing now is from North Carolina to Salt Lake City, so I can pretty much shoot that in the foot too. So I guess what I'm wondering is with the oil sample, I'm using about 2.5 gallons of oil every 10,000 miles. I'm still on synthetic, and mainly because of, you know, the cold starts and stuff. I'll pay the 2.5 gallons just to have the ease of starting the truck and it running good. But the loss of the oil and the fuel mileage, am I looking at maybe needing to do an overhead? I really don't see anything in the oil sample. Oh, no, my soot's not crazy.
Hold on,
or nothing,
let me,
you know.
Now that the engine's actually performing well, meaning it's well-tuned, I wouldn't mess with the overhead. What concerns me more than that, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're using 2.5 gallons in 10,000 miles. That sounds like you're putting in, you know, a gallon every 3,000 or so.
Well, it's actually a gallon about every five to, if I'm running the hills and, you know, through West Virginia, like Salt Lake, it's going to be between around five. If I'm taking it easy and the, you know, the level grounds there in the summer, it's not that bad. It's around seven.
Okay.
In other words, I'm going to put a gallon in every 5,000 miles.
Yeah. So the fact that you're going to go team, your mileage is going to increase. I kind of doubt you're going to make it through this year without doing an in-frame. You're getting that close to needing an in-frame, and the more miles you put on it, the sooner that's going to come. So I would start thinking seriously about whether you'd rather do the in-frame or go buy a truck. And when you talk about your fuel mileage numbers and profit and all the other things going on, this might be a good time for you to go buy a new truck.
Yeah, that's what we're really thinking and talking about because of, you know, I can get a better fuel mileage. I can get a truck that's set up right. I don't want a brand new one. I want to stay around a 215 or so. But I think I can find one pretty close to the way it needs to be set up. So, okay. I guess that's the way we need to start looking. So
perfect. I think that's a great idea. Because if we look at all the factors going on, if you do an in-frame, in-frames have to come out of cash. So, you know, if you want to do a good in-frame, you're looking at 30,000. I mean, like you said, your fuel economy has dropped off. So we'd have to focus on that. If we look at all the factors, the fact that you could, instead of spending $30,000 on an in-frame, you could put it down on a truck, then, you know, you're going to have a payment, but your fuel savings and tax savings will more than offset that, and you get the reliability of a new truck and the comfort. So, yeah, I think it's time. Many times I tell people, you're probably better off keeping the one you have. Looking at all the factors you and I just went over, I'd be buying a new truck. Like you said, I think 2015 is ideal. Those are priced really well in the market right now. I'm all out of time. Thanks for joining me. We'll do it again real soon. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always. The hard work. Master the service. Get profitable. All right, everybody, hang on. We are going to do a second hour. I'm getting set up for that right now. And I've got tons of questions, so I'm going to jump right into those. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs.
Back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. Tonight, anything goes. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, getting your authority, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is ask the question. We're going to get to those questions in just a little bit. In fact, I've got a ton of them tonight, so I've only got a couple things, and then I'll get right to your questions. Lots and lots of misinformation going on about taxes right now with the big tax law change. It had big, big implications and impacts on the trucking industry, but there's a lot of bad advice already. I am on top of this. I've been reading the tax bills. I've been conferring with other CPAs, other tax preparers. I have somebody helping me out that is a former IRS agent and is also studying this new tax law intensely. So I'm running all of my ideas and my calculators through them to make sure I've got this right. Taxes are confusing. It's easy to mess up on this, but I'm seeing magazines in the trucking industry posting stuff that's just wrong, and it's causing a lot of confusion. So I'm working to try and get out good information and keep everybody from making mistakes and being confused. One of the ways that I'm trying to keep that organized and all in one place, we'll be publishing a lot of this on our website, letstruck.com. I'm going to be putting out an ebook. We're going to be doing weekly conference calls to help people. We can certainly do your tax and accounting work for you, but I've started a Facebook group. And a lot of people are on Facebook, so it's one place where we can keep the stuff that I'm writing, so you can go in and find it in there. The articles that I'm posting are in there, and you can ask questions. I'm answering questions. Mark Sullivan, who I just referred to, he's a former IRS agent. He is a tax consultant in the trucking industry now. He works with a lot of fleets on per diem issues. He is volunteering his time in the group, and he's answering a lot of questions, so I want to thank him for that. So if you want your questions answered, or you want to read what everybody else's questions are and see the answers, I've posted examples of how this is going to affect your tax return. It's all in that group on Facebook, and it's an open group. It's free. Just here's what you need to do. When you're logged into Facebook, on the Facebook search window, not Google, but on the Facebook search window, type in understanding the new tax law in trucking. The group will come up. You can join it. If you forget that, you could scroll through my personal page and you'll find some links to that group. The problem with looking on my personal page is I sometimes post 5, 6, 7 articles a day, and it's sometimes it's hard to find things on my page. That's why I've created this group. So go on over there, join the group on Facebook. We'll answer your questions. I will be announcing some weekly conference calls, and of course, I'll be answering a lot of tax questions here on this show as well. Lots of stuff going on in the industry, but I've got calls just piled up on hold, so we're going to get to them right now. We're off to Mississippi. Ashley, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for helping me today. 80% of my energy right now is going into my accounting and bookkeeping part of my business, the other 20% being continuing education with your class and the audiobooks. So I'm hoping you can get me squared away, because I thought I was on top of things, but I was listening to Saturday's podcast and I'm sick to my stomach, because I've entered all of 2017. This is the first year, complete year, that I have as being an owner operator. I list all my settlements match in profit gauges, but what I did wrong, and I'm wondering what procedural steps I need to take to correct 2017 so they're accurate, and so I can move forward before I start 2018. Is this the maintenance accounts, the reserve accounts, the escrow accounts? So basically, it shows, like, if you looked at my tax report, it would show I had basically, I'm rounding up, $12,000 in maintenance. But in actuality, I had like five, and seven of that's in the reserve accounts. So what do I need to do to correct? Am I going to have to start from scratch, or
We can make this really simple, and maybe even simpler. And the reason that I say that is, without looking at your account, there's a couple different ways you can enter things. And if you did it one way, we might actually go in and be able to make one change and fix this. That's possible. The other way, which isn't even all that bad, is we just go back through and open up each settlement and make the correction. And even that wouldn't take very long, because, you know, what, 52 settlements, we could knock this out pretty quick. What you're going to do is you're going to take anything that goes into maintenance, reserves, or escrow, and you're going to reclassify those as retained earnings. So your settlements will still all balance, but that retained earning money won't show up on the business report or the tax report, because it's not really an expense. It's still your money. So your best bet is to contact us, our Tribe Care team, either call them or send them an email, and we can even get on the phone with you and help you fix this.
Okay, great. I was sick to my stomach, like all the hours I spent, and I'm going to have to go over and start from scratch. And will
now,
that affect my...
You know,
I
could...
Go ahead.
So I gave you the way to correct it in profit gauges, which is what I would recommend doing because it's not very hard. We've made the system really easy to make changes, but there's another low-tech way you could do this. You could simply go through your paper settlements or whatever you have, add up all of the money that went into escrow and reserve, and just make one adjustment. That's kind of a lower tech, and you wouldn't even have to make the adjustment in profit gauges. I would recommend that you do so that your business report is accurate for you to look at. But literally, we could make that adjustment on the tax return itself. We would just look at, like you said, there was $12,000. Will you go in and add up what the reserve money was for maintenance? And we just subtract it from the $12,000 before we do the tax return. I mean, that's the low tech way. But fixing it in profit gauges is really simple. So this is not a big deal.
Well, will that affect my net profit per mile and cost per mile when that's adjusted?
Yes.
Then? Or will that have any?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it will.
I want to make sure I'm squared away. So before I enter 2018, I got the right. Once I get something, I get it. But it's just learning how to enter the information.
Yeah.
And it's a little confusing for me.
You know, that's probably our number one issue that confuses people. And it's not profit gauges that confuses it. Profit gauges actually makes this really easy. The problem comes in is because carriers move all that money around on your settlement. They have reserve accounts. That's where the confusion comes in. But once we show you how to do this, you're going to go, oh, well, yeah, that's easy. So this is not a big deal. We can get it straightened out, and then going forward, you'll
so
have it right.
Would this classify as a retained earning as well as like the pet deposit? Like I had a $1,500 pet deposit in an escrow
yep.
account that was capped off at $700. Would that be retained earnings as well?
Retained earnings. So here's the thing. If the carrier charged you, they could call it a deposit. And if it's potentially refundable, then yes, we would call it an escrow because it's still your money. Now, maybe someday it won't be, but we're not there yet. They say clearly
okay.
that it's a non-refundable deposit. If it's non-refundable, then we could call it an expense right now and not retained earnings. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yes, it does. That makes perfect sense. Last question, and I'll let you go, is what constitutes moving forward for tax purposes for the category of uniforms? What classifies as a uniform expense?
So here's the IRS wording on this, and it's clear as mud. The IRS basically says if a piece of clothing is suitable for everyday use, then it's not a uniform. That's all the clarification they give us. What we take that to mean, and that's what the IRS code is all about, how we interpret it, is if you have a logo on it, that's a uniform. And I'm not going to wear my, you know, company logoed shirt to dinner. Now I might, but that's not how they classify it. So if it has logos, clearly uniforms. If you buy work pants from a work store and they're clearly uniform pants, we're going to deduct those things. This is one of those areas where we have lots of room to interpret. But, you know, if you buy a suit and you're going to use it to go out on sales calls, a suit is suitable, no pun intended, to wear anywhere, a wedding, dinner. So that would not be deductible. Hopefully, that clarifies it a little bit. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Lots and lots of calls on hold, so we're going to get right back to them. Let's go to Texas. Fred, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Kind of sounds like you better open up another lane on this year's CMC there, bud. On this
Boy, you ain't
step.
Kidding. And
there you
yeah,
go.
As busy as we are, we're getting ready to launch this year's CMC. So taxes, I think, will be a big part of it, and tax strategies.
I get a percentage of that because I told you that, don't I, if you open up another lane?
That's right. The check's in the mail.
Hey, yeah. There you go, buddy. Hey, very quickly, I think I understand. I've got a lot of good stuff today. I've always been a company driver. I'm going to pay the $1,500 fine this year because I don't have any insurance. Can you say on 2018's filings, the $1,500 fine for not having, in other words, if I don't get any insurance this year, my filing for this year on, would go away. Is that correct? The fine?
In 2018, when 2018, there is still a fine, a penalty for not having health insurance. Starting on January 1st of 2019, that goes away.
Okay. So that means it. Well, I guess what I'm getting at is that not the taxes I'm filing now, but the next set of taxes I file, I could possibly be in having to pay in something. To be upside down.
So you're getting ready to file you're getting ready to file your 2017 tax return right now. There's a penalty for not having insurance on that tax return. And then next year at this time, when you're getting ready to file your 2018 tax return, there's going to be a penalty still. And then finally in 2020, when you're getting ready to file your 2019 taxes, the penalty will be gone.
Okay, so I guess here again on the next set of taxes, not this one, the next one, I could, because I cannot deduct for DIM, I could possibly have that. I'm probably looking at having to have to pay in instead of getting something back, potentially.
Potentially, yeah. Taxes are so complicated, I don't ever try to predict if somebody's going to have a refund or have to pay in because
you don't have a crystal ball.
But let's just speak in general terms. There's a very good chance that your tax bill will go up for 2018 unless you're working for a carrier that will reimburse the per diem.
Yeah, I've already brought that up and they just laughed at me.
You may get the last laugh. Yeah, you may get the last laugh on that one because with all the competition for drivers, reimbursing per diem could mean an additional $3,000 or $4,000 in a driver's pocket. So I think the carriers are going to have to wake up and rethink their attitude about that. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hal, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Kevin, I'll get right to it here. I called your tax girl today, and I have a couple of trucks leased to me. You know, I make a percentage off of them, and I charge back their tags and insurance and stuff. And I haven't done my 17 profit gauges because I didn't know if I need to put them in my profit gauges, and she suggested we set up one for multiple trucks for each one of them, but I still don't understand what I'm going to do with the income that I'm making off of those trucks.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that I would set up additional profit gauges accounts unless the guys that are leasing to you want to use profit gauges. You could do it that way. I wouldn't recommend that. I understand why she said it, but I wouldn't recommend that. What you're going to do, though, is – so how do you cut a settlement to them? Are you deducting anything out of their settlement, or is it just a straight, here's how much I'm paying you and you're on your own kind of thing?
No, I deduct their fuel and their I deduct their a 5% that I make off of them. One of them has a trailer.
Well, now
he's renting a trailer.
Let me clarify. Okay, let me clarify one of those things. So you answered my question. There are some deductions being taken out. The percentage you can ignore. You don't have to show that percentage anywhere, because all you're really going to show is how much you paid them. We don't care what that percentage is. That's your money anyway. So how are you doing a settlement now? Do you have a spreadsheet? Do you have a software program? How do you create that settlement to your contractors?
No, I don't have a spreadsheet. I thought we could do it all on profit gauges, but I guess we can't. So
profit gauges.
She makes out a weekly settlement that shows their gross, the 5% out, their charge on their fuel and their insurance and their tags and their deductions, and so we don't have it put in anything. We just have those settlements there, and that's why I don't know what to do with them for 2017.
That makes sense. Here's what I would recommend. I want to keep this simple. Profit gauges is definitely designed for having your own authority. I mean, it works well for that. But when you start contracting, and you could have drivers, that would work. But when you start contracting other owner operators, we've moved into a different arena. And that's when you would start looking at software that like TMS software, transportation management, and it gets confusing and you add modules. And, with a couple trucks leased under you, what I would do, honestly, is take her handwritten sheet that she's doing every week and have somebody program a spreadsheet for you. That's not that hard. I mean, you could hire a college kid that'll do that for next to nothing, and it won't take them long at all. That way, a lot of the math is done for you. You're going to have a lot less mistakes, and all the numbers are going to be in one place. Then the other thing the spreadsheet would do for you is we could create a summary page. And from that summary page, you would only have to make a couple entries into profit gauges, and you'd be done.
Okay. Okay, but the money I received from – we haul for three or four brokers. The money I received for them, it all goes into my profit gauges then?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And so somehow I've got
that's all
that
your
my
you will somehow and that's kind of where I was saying the spreadsheet is where those numbers are going to come from. So just to give you an example, once we're in profit gauges and you had all of this stuff you paid the independents, you had that summarized, and again, I think the spreadsheet is the best way to go. But then when you're sitting down at profit gauges, you're going to say, and I'm going to talk about one load, but you would do this for the whole month. That's why the spreadsheet's so valuable, because it'll do all the math for you. But you're going to say, okay, look,
right.
I took in 10,000, let's just talk about a month. I took in $10,000 for this contractor. He ran $10,000 worth of revenue. Well, the revenue was all yours to start with. So that goes into profit gauges as revenue. Then you're going to have an expense category, and that category may say just something like truck number, and whatever that truck number might be in your system. I paid $8,000 out to them. That's an expense now.
Okay.
So that you're not going to get taxed on the money that went to them. You're only going to get taxed on the percentage you took out of each load. And then we would have to deal with things like fuel deductions and that kind of stuff. So if neither you or your wife are really strong in kind of accounting principles and spreadsheets, this is where I would hire somebody to at least get you set up, to write that spreadsheet, to create the flow. And then once you see it, the entry into profit gauges is really simple. But you've stepped up to the next level of accounting because you now have contractors under you. That adds some complication
right.
to this.
Okay. So, but I will expense those on my expenses. That's, I understand that.
Absolutely.
I'll expense those,
yep.
But, yeah. I'll have Truck 101, you know, and I paid him this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So this may be the time where, like I say, you hire a college accounting major and, you know, pay him 4 or 8 hours to come over and go through these things with you, set up a spreadsheet, make a couple entries in the profit pages, and then once you see it, it's pretty simple. We just have to get that initial flow set up correctly. We'll be right back. Stick around. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. You know, I've been doing the tax and accounting thing in this industry for a long, long time, since 1990. I've never seen anything like this. It's the perfect storm for owner-operators. Rates are up. Freight is spilling off the docks. We got a big tax cut, but that also means it is so critically important that you stay on top of your accounting and you have a tax preparer who understands this stuff. We can help you with all of that. We have software online. We could do all of your accounting for you. We offer that service as well. We can certainly do all your tax work, but just make sure you stay on top of this. Don't let January slip by. If you don't have an accounting system, get one. If you don't have a tax preparer right now that understands the trucking industry and understands this new tax law and is developing strategies around this new tax law. I've said this before, but this is important. Knowing how to fill out a tax return correctly is not what you're looking for. Clearly, you need that. But everybody, or boy, I would hope so, everybody that's charging to do taxes should at the very minimum know how to fill out the form correctly and not make a mistake. But that doesn't make you a really valuable tax preparer. That requires you to go to the next level. The tax preparer should be developing strategies. I review a lot of tax returns. I normally don't find, you know, mistakes, nothing major anyway, little stuff here and there. Most people that fill out tax returns do it correctly. But what I see on almost every single tax return I review are missed opportunities. They're not taking deductions for personal vehicles. They're not taking deductions for paying their children to work in the business. They're not taking deductions for their vacations. Yes, you can. They're not taking home office deductions. They're not paying their spouse so that we get the double per diem sometimes for having a spouse, whether she drives or not. The spouse does not have to be a licensed CDL driver to get a per diem deduction. If they're on the truck, we can do that. Even if they're home, we can make them part of the business and still add some deductions that you weren't getting before. If you are married, we can set you up so that your health insurance is deductible as a business expense. Can't do that unless you set it up properly. your other medical expenses could become 100% deductible under the right plan. So those are the strategies that I see missed almost every time I review a tax return. Nothing incorrect about the tax return. They're just not taking advantage of all of these deductions. And that means you are paying thousands of dollars too much in tax. So not only do you want to work with somebody who understands the rules, everybody should do that, but you want to work with people who have developed tax strategies. That's what we do. So we will continue to educate you on those strategies, what is deductible, so that you can look at your own return. Now, I am also reviewing tax returns free right now. I'm not sure how much longer I can continue to do this because tax season is getting really busy. The easiest way to find that form so that you can submit, not only will I do a tax review of your current tax return, I'll do an analysis and show you what's going to happen in 2018. So the easiest way to find it is to join my group on Facebook. And this is where I'm trying to help people stay on top of this, answer their questions, and avoid all this confusion I'm seeing in the industry. So once you're logged into Facebook, use the Facebook search bar, not Google. Use the Facebook search feature, and I'm going to give you the words, so you either want to record this or write it down as I'm saying it. Search for Understanding the New Tax Law in Trucking. That's my Facebook group. It's an open group. I let everybody join, and I'm posting examples in there. I'm posting articles. I'm posting IRS codes so you can see it. If you have a current tax preparer and they're good, you can show it to them. I've run this by IRS agents. I've run it by former IRS agents. I have tax consultants helping me with this. We're double, triple, and quadruple checking the facts and the numbers. We're on top of this. So the Facebook group, you'll also, right at the top of the discussion, you'll see a link to submit if you want me to do a free tax return and an analysis for 2018. So let me get back to some questions. Let's go to Tennessee. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. First, I want to say thank you. I noticed that you started putting the shows, especially the weekend show, on YouTube, and you kind of did that quietly.
What happened was we developed our own app. We have our own app where you can listen to the live shows, you can listen to the pre-recorded shows, you can listen to all the past shows. And one of the features we programmed into that app is the fact that it also sends that show to YouTube. So that was kind of how it happened. And you're right, I haven't even really mentioned that. I kind of forgot that feature was in there.
Yeah, so that's awesome because I'm a YouTube guy. Now, I have a quick comment for the guy that's one step short of a TMS. I don't need a TMS because I'm just a one truck, but I found Google Sheets. It's free, and if you just find a secretary and you write everything down on paper, how you want it to look and perform, a secretary can turn all that information into a spreadsheet like you were saying. And what's the benefit of that is if you throw your rate cons into Dropbox and you put enough information in the spreadsheet, you can very easily find brokers that you worked with in the past in different cities and stuff. And it's a great tool, especially when you start growing and you don't quite need a TMS yet.
That is a great recommendation. You are absolutely correct about all of that. Google Sheets is an online spreadsheet program. I use something very similar called Zoho Sheets and Zoho Creator. Same idea. Google Sheets are great. And the integration with Dropbox, that's all a really great way of getting that done at almost zero cost.
Now, I was hoping you could take a look at my numbers. I spoke to you this summer when you canceled the CMC. I knew I wanted to get my own authority at some point, but I wasn't ready to do it without taking that CMC course. So I wound up getting involved with Kenny Long, and it's probably the best thing, best decision I've made over at Patriot Star.
Good.
If you look at the fourth quarter, I do everything, build relationships. I've got two brokers. I'm to the point now that I can start looking for direct customers because now I understand how to do that. I've learned how to book towards loads, which was something I could not do when I was at Landstar. It was a struggle to bring the revenue up. But the first week, I had somebody hit me head on. It wasn't my fault. And in September, I don't know if you were able to open up the different tabs or not, I laid out quite a bit of money to make that repair. And in October, the insurance check came in. And I'm wondering, is that revenue or can I count that as a credit against my maintenance cost?
Well, it doesn't matter. Technically, it's revenue, but it will offset the maintenance cost in the other direction. I mean, it's going to increase your revenue, but then your true expense from that accident will be deducted from that. But I would enter it as revenue. That's a cleaner way to do it. So you just, whatever they paid you, put it into your total revenue and profit gauges. Any expenses you had for repairs or any of the other things, you would put in expenses.
Okay, so I did it the other way. I put it in as a credit, so it kind of skews the percentages, but it looks...
If you did it that way, that's okay. It's not going to hurt anything. The end result on a tax return, which is what, you know, we always have to think about, the end result on the tax return is exactly the same. So if you've already entered it that way, I'd leave it that way.
Okay. Now, can you look at the fourth quarter? Now, because of what I did with crediting it towards maintenance, it brought that maintenance number down to like 70-something cents.
Yeah. So let me address that when we get back from this break. We'll do that right after this, and we'll get to more of your calls and questions. Speaking of questions, I can't possibly get to them all on the air, no matter how many hours I do. That's why we have a Tribe Care team. You can always call them, 855-800-3835. Help with your taxes, help with accounting, whatever you need. 855-800-3835. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Paul. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. Boy, these shows are flying by. We've got so many questions. I'm going to get right back to them. Let me make sure we got these. Oh, boy. My switchboard here is looks like a Christmas tree. It's all lit up again. Let's go to Texas. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, good day, Kevin.
What can I help you with today?
Oh, my man, I was about that the quarterly estimated taxes for, say, 2017. Of course, I haven't done any of those, and today's the 15th. I'm wondering, just go ahead and say, hypothetically, say in 2016, if my taxes were $5,000, spread pay $5,000 today, would I be ineligible for a penalty, which is what I'm looking for, or do I need to pay 90% of what I anticipate that I will be taxed, paying in taxes? Can you help me on that?
So Yeah, I do. And, you know, we could get into a whole long discussion about how estimated taxes work because this confuses a lot of people. But I'm going to address just your question directly. Here's what I would recommend doing. What I would recommend doing is the year's over. I would make my number one priority getting all my numbers together and getting it to my tax preparer. Like right now, I wouldn't even wait to get all the tax documents in. I would put together everything you have, give it to your tax preparer, because if you get in this time of year, they usually have time to turn that return around quickly. We could turn it around in a couple of days right now, I would think. And then you're going to know the number. Now, the number technically isn't due till April 15th, but you should have been making estimates. But as soon as you know that number, then it's going to be the real number. And then you just decide, you know, if you've got the money, just pay it and be done with it. So rather than, you know, try to guess and send them a check and then do your tax return and then have to reconcile it, just we're close enough. A couple more weeks on that penalty is going to be nothing, nothing whatsoever. So I would just say, get your stuff together. Plus, that's just a big incentive to get your tax return done early, which is always a good idea anyway.
Yeah, and I just wait for those Moses. I mean, waiting for them to give me my 1095A. So when I go in there, I've got all the complete everything completed, you know, for the tax preparer. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Now, you said 1095A?
Yeah, from the Affordable Care Act. You know, I've been paying that insurance or what.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you call it insurance.
Got it.
In order
I wouldn't wait for that one. Like I said, I would just get it to my tax preparer right away. You know, you can let them know, look, I don't have this form yet or this form, but it's your tax preparer could calculate 95 or 99% of your tax return without that form anyway. Then as soon as the form gets in, you finalize it, but you would know a number. I mean, you would be really, really close to an exact number, and then you can just send that to the IRS and not mess around with estimates.
Okay, so if the 15th, if I was to pay them a hypothetical number, and I know you don't like that, and I'm going to get away from that in 2018, and I will go see them as ASAP, like you said, but it won't if you pay it like by then or February the 1st or March the 15th, isn't you don't have to pay that penalty, is that correct? Or is, I'm already...
No, that's
going to be sticking.
That's not correct. So we will go back and clarify how estimated taxes work. So during the year 2017, which is what the tax return we're talking about right now, you had your first estimate should have been paid by April 15th of 2017. Then your next one, I believe, was June 15th. Now, I'm not accounting for, like, weekends and that kind of stuff. June 15th, then September 15th, then January 15th. So you should have made four estimates by now. If you've made none, technically, and the IRS doesn't always calculate this correctly, but the way they should do it and the way they can do it, and they might, is they would go back to April 15th and say, well, you should have paid this much, and then the interest and penalties start accruing. Then they go back to June and say, okay, on June you should have paid this much, and they can start calculating interest and penalties. And then September, and now January will pretty much be on time if you make that payment. Sometimes they miss this, but I wouldn't count on it. They can... and more than likely will charge you interest and penalties for not making the estimates.
Okay. All righty, well, we're
now,
getting there.
All right, good. If you need any help, by all means, give us a call. Now, I will tell you, because I've heard this thousands of times when I talk about taxes, guys will call me and swear, oh, no, I never pay estimates and I don't pay a penalty. Yes, you do. Most tax preparers just calculate it right into your tax return, and they don't even tell you what the number is because they get tired of explaining it over and over and over. The IRS, if you owe a certain amount, if you're self-employed, you should be paying estimated taxes 4 times a year. That's another thing that a lot of tax preparers just don't stay up on. You've got to do that if you're self-employed. Otherwise, you're going to pay interest and penalties. And you may not think you're paying it. You will be. All right. I am going to get back to the phones. And I lost a call somewhere on the switchboard. Where was that? Thought I was going back to somebody, and I couldn't find it because my switchboard's kind of a mess. Now I don't see the... I don't see it in there. Roger in Pennsylvania. Have we talked yet?
No, we haven't.
Okay. Boy, my switchboard just lit up like a Christmas tree, and I got confused on which calls I was at. So what can I help you with today?
Quick question. I think it used to be a gray area, but if you own the corporation and you are an employee driver with taxes taken out and everything, are you able for 17 to do the per diem?
Yes. Now here's how, in 2018, that doesn't change. That's the good news for owner operators. Here's how we do it. So if you own the corporation, if you're an owner operator, but you have a corporation, you're obviously an owner of that corporation. We have the corporation pay the per diem or reimburse the per diem to you as an individual. That way,
okay,
the corporation takes the, they can pay the full amount, $63 a day. That's how we get the biggest benefit. You get, as an individual, you get all that money tax-free, and you don't have to even show it anywhere. The corporation gets to deduct the 80% of the per diem they paid out. That's the way to get the maximum benefit for the per diem.
Okay, so I basically, this year, I need to start paying myself per diem check, and then the corporation can write the per diem check off at the end of the year, 80% of it.
Correct. And as far as the money you receive in per diem, it doesn't show up anywhere on your personal tax return at all.
Okay. And question two, with your tax accounting, my taxes have rental properties and stuff like that on them also. How would that come into play? Or are you more strictly just the trucking?
Oh, no. We do all kinds. We have a lot of people that own farms, so we do their farm schedule. We have lots of people with rental properties, so we do their Schedule E. Yeah, we can do tax returns for anybody. We specialize. I mean, we only take clients that own trucks or drive trucks.
Yeah.
But if they have other businesses, many times they're maybe their spouse, you know, is a Mary Kay representative, or their spouse owns a store. We can do all of those things. We specialize in trucking, though. And in order for us to take a client, you have to be in trucking. Then we'll do all the other stuff for you as well.
Okay. All right, sir. I believe that helps me out a little bit.
All right, good. Thanks for joining me tonight. Thanks for all the calls and questions. We will continue. Try to straighten out all the myths and misconceptions around this new tax law and how it affects trucking. I'm all done for now. Check out the website. It's letstruck.com. If you have any other questions, call our Tribe Care team, 855-800-3835. We're really swamped. If you get voicemail, please leave a message. We always return calls. We'll see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always the hard work.
All right, everybody.
We are all done. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Power Hour.